Hallelujah. All right. You guys, are you ready? Good morning. I'm more free this morning than I can remember being free. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, hopefully next week I'll be able to say the same thing. And the week after that, and in 6 months, and then a year. But this morning I'm going to be me. I can't help but just, I'm a transparent person. I share what's going on, so I'm going to be me this morning. And recently the Lord had me on a fast. And He showed me some things about me. Or I began to see some things about me. You know, the Bible says that you hide not yourself from your own flesh. And I came face to face with some insecurities in my life. And I've always wanted to be a real person. I felt like I've always been real. I've been genuine. I be myself when I preach and when I speak with people. But the Lord showed me some things, or reminded me of some things, or at least they came to my remembrance. I don't want to say I apologize for this, but I've repented of it. But there's often times in my life that the giftings of God wanted to manifest, and I did not walk in them in the fullness that He had wanted me to walk in, for whatever the reason might be. And He took me to the scripture that says, God has not given you a spirit of fear. And I want to look at that in the Amplified Bible, which is 2 Timothy. See, I'm free to be me. See, say that with me. Say, I'm free to be me.
I'm free to be me.
Hallelujah. That's an awesome statement. It really is. It's an amazing thing. We're free to be who God created us to be. I'm free to be me. All right. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6 in the Amplified Bible says this. That's why I would remind you to stir up, rekindle the embers of, fan the flame of, and keep burning the gracious gift of God, the inner fire that is in you by means of the laying on of my hands with those of the elders at your ordination. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, of cowardice, of craving and cringing and fawning fear. But He has given us a spirit of power and of love and of calm and well-balanced mind and discipline and self-control. So if it's true that I'm a spirit, I have a soul and I live in a body, this is who I am. He says He's given us a spirit of power and love and of calm and well-balanced mind and discipline and self-control. See, I'm free to be me as long as this is who me is. As long as this is who I am. I'm free to walk in power. I'm free to have love. I'm free to be calm and well-balanced in my mind. Hallelujah. It's an awesome freedom. This freedom comes from life in the Spirit. And I've been talking about life in the Spirit for some time, and that's where the Holy Spirit has me, because I believe with all of my heart for us to walk to the next level and to see the revival that He has for us, we must be able to walk in the Spirit. And it's not on Sunday morning, only on Sunday morning. It's in our daily life. It's walking in the new nature and walking after the things of the Spirit rather than the things of the flesh. So let's go to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians 5, we'll start in verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Then he goes on to list some of the works of the flesh. He said, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in the past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, this list, I don't believe is extensive, and I don't believe it's exclusive. It is simply an example of the things of the flesh. You could almost call these the fruits of the flesh, because when we're talking about walking after the Spirit and not after the flesh, we don't necessarily mean these types of things. We're talking about that flesh nature that we don't want to have a part in our life. He goes on, he says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. So Paul's admonishing us that if we will walk in the Spirit, we'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. See, you notice he didn't say, if you don't walk in the flesh, then you can walk in the Spirit. He's emphasizing the importance of walking in the Spirit so that we can be free from the flesh. Because when I speak about the flesh this morning, I'm talking about the nature that we received by inheritance from the first man, Adam. That nature that does not know God, that's not interested in God, that has other lusts, and like we read here, all of those lusts are available in the flesh. For every person born on this earth, those lusts are all automatically there. They don't have to train themselves to want to commit adultery. They don't have to be trained to want to have lasciviousness and all those things. Those are just the results of fallen man. It's the results of sin in the flesh. And it's the same way with the things of the Spirit. Those who are born of the Spirit, these fruits are available to every born-again believer. Now, they're there and they're available to us. But we get to choose, are we going to walk after the old nature that we received from Adam, or are we going to walk after the new nature that we received from Christ? Are we going to walk in the Spirit and be able to walk away from the old man and be able to put down the old man, and not only put him down, but Romans tells us that we can mortify the deeds of the body through the Spirit. And I think sometimes we've beaten ourselves up about getting rid of the flesh when really what God is calling us to is walk into the Spirit. Because if you'll do that, you'll have the ability to destroy the deeds of the body. But we get so caught up and so vain, honestly, in our own abilities that we get frustrated and think, I can't do this. Well, you're right. In your flesh and in your own abilities, you can't do this. So it's time to stop being frustrated with how you're able to not sin and learn how to walk in the Spirit so that you're able to overcome that sin. It's no longer there. Not only overcome it, but put it to death so that the lusts of it cannot be fulfilled in your life. As I've been studying and praying and meditating on life in the Spirit. I've written down several questions to the Lord, and just some questions that I'm thinking and meditating, it helps me to write down questions that I have that help me compare different things. And I started thinking about Jesus and how His Spirit, when He was born from His mother Mary, when He was born in the natural, He was born with a new nature. He had a spirit that is from God. He didn't have the fallen nature. So there's that difference, right? When Jesus was born, although He was a man, He walked the earth as a man, and He walked as a man that had a new nature, or a godly nature. It wasn't new to Him. It was the same nature that He's had. Here's a question. Did Jesus walk in the flesh, or did He walk in the Spirit when He's here on the earth? Now, I'm not talking about was His flesh and blood here. We know that. He did walk as a man. But walking as a man, did He walk after the Spirit, or did He walk after the flesh? And I think we would all agree that He walked after the Spirit, right? Because anything that's of the flesh is sin, and there was no sin in Him. So when we look at His life, though, all the way up until His baptism, until the Holy Spirit came upon Him, He didn't perform any miracles. There were some amazing things. I mean, at 12 years old, He's debating with great scholars and all of these things. But as far as we know, He worked as a carpenter. He was a carpenter's son. These are very natural, normal things that He would have done in His life. He would have gone to school. He would have walked the streets. He would have done all the natural things that you and I do. And yet, He did them by the Spirit. So you see, it's possible to fulfill natural, mundane tasks by the Spirit and not by the flesh. See, and what I mean by that is this. The influence in which you're being influenced by, you can be influenced by the Spirit, or you can be influenced by the flesh. And I told you a little bit, there's been times when God has wanted to manifest different things through me that I didn't allow them to happen. And the reason is, really, it comes down to intimidation. I mean, I was intimidated by one thing or another, whatever it might be. Maybe I didn't know what someone might think or say, I spent a lot of my life with thoughts of what someone else in authority might say or think of me, just honestly. I'd find myself trying to make decisions, and in the process of making that decision, wondering what someone else might think or do in this situation. And it's okay to have mentors and people you look up to and father figures, and all of those things are important, but you have to be free. I'm free to be me. See, I have to learn how to walk in what God has put in me and trust in that with all confidence. See, Jesus, the Bible says He made Himself of no reputation. He didn't worry about what His mother and father were going to say or think when He went out and turned the water into wine. Well, I mean, His mother asked Him to do something. So really, in that matter, is that. But even when they came to find Him and they said, "Your mother and your brothers are out there," He says, "Who's my mother and my brothers?" Jesus did not allow the intimidation of the world to stop Him from doing whatever it is that He was going to do. Jesus healed people on the Sabbath day, which was against the law and was not well accepted among the Jews. And as we learn to walk in the Spirit and live our life, and when I say live our life, I'm talking about from the time that we wake up in the morning to the time we go to bed, we live our life in the Spirit, we're going to be able to walk free of that intimidation, free of frustrations, free of disappointments. I'm not telling you that they won't come. I'm just telling you we'd be able to walk free of them. When we talk about this possible box sitting here, it's easy to be frustrated. It's easy to be disappointed. And I'm not sure how to explain it completely yet. But I'm not disappointed anymore. Because I know that as we live life in the Spirit, every possibility, it becomes a reality. The reason we call it a possible box is because there is no impossibility. There is nothing impossible with God. And the more we walk in the Spirit and we see ourselves with the way God has created us and the way God has created is the wrong word. The way God has, I guess created is good. The Spirit that He's created in us and who God has made us to be, as the more that that becomes a reality to us and to our mind, the more these things become a reality in our life. And yes, we're going to walk in miracles, but before we walk in miracles, we're going to walk in a reality of who we are and be able to live our life free from the dictates of the flesh, free from the limitations that our flesh puts on us, free from that intimidation and that fear and all of the things that the flesh tries to manifest to us. We have the authority in the Spirit to simply walk out of that and into whatever He says to do. Obviously, we live in this world. It's quite obvious. Each one of us got here somehow this morning. You didn't get here by prayer and meditation. You didn't say, Lord, you know, I would like to be at the prayer center this morning. Shandala masandala kasanda. And poof, you're here. It just doesn't work that way. There's an old saying that says, you can be so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good. I don't agree with that, but I understand what they're saying. I don't agree with that because if you're truly heavenly minded, you're going to be all earthly good. You'd be able to accomplish anything on this earth because your mind is on the things of God. However, you can over-spiritualize so many things that it becomes useless in the natural. But when we learn what it really means to be spiritual, you can be spiritual and drive your car to church. You can be spiritual and go get your hair cut. Be spiritual and mow your lawn. You can be spiritual in all the mundane, normal things. Jesus was a spiritual man building things with his hands as a carpenter. He was able to do that by the Spirit without a mistake. You know, if we can learn to do things by the Spirit, it's not that we won't make mistakes. It's that we won't be overcome by mistakes. You won't be stopped by mistakes. You don't have to be distracted by mistakes. And if you continue long enough, you won't make mistakes. That may be a bold statement, I don't know, but I believe it. God's called us to maturity. He's called us to perfection. Be perfect. And so there is a place in the Spirit where we can walk with Him and we can live our daily life free from the inabilities that our flesh puts on us, free from the limitations of our flesh. I believe that at the prayer center, we're entering a new level of trust and walking in the Spirit. I believe that's what God is calling us into, a deeper place of the Spirit. And I know He's always calling us to a deeper place of the Spirit, but I just sense in my heart that we're stepping into that as a body, and each one of us is going to be responsible to step into that individually in our own lives. And that's why I feel like this is a very important message that God is trying to get over to us, that our responsibility is to walk in the Spirit. And sometimes that can be a little bit elusive, like we don't understand completely what that means. So I want to do the best I can to explain a little bit. To do that, let's turn to Ephesians chapter 4. And let's begin in verse 17. Ephesians 4:17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their hearts, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. So he's explaining that this is how the unregenerated man lives. The Gentiles, those who don't know Christ, says they walk in the vanity of their mind. And they do it because they're ignorant, because they haven't been born again. They don't have the knowledge of Christ. They don't have the knowledge of God in their life. And so they just live in the vanity of their mind. Right? And he gives us a contrast. He said, you have not so learned Christ. If so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So what I want you to see here is that the old man lives in the vanity of his mind. The old man, before you're born again, or woman, the nature of the old man is vainness. It's vain. It wants to have control. It wants to make decisions and use the natural way of thinking in order to get what it wants. That's really what it comes down to. The natural man, the man of the flesh, will do almost anything to get what he wants. But it says here in 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And so I believe that there's a couple ways to look at this verse. We've talked often of the spirit of your mind being your spiritual mind or the spiritual part of your mind, and we need to be renewed in that. But you could also say this, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. So see, you have a carnal mind and a carnal nature that was from the first man, Adam, that of course is dead because of Christ, because of righteousness, we are alive, right? We have life. But the old nature is dead because of sin. But yet that old carnal mind, it tries to or wants to, has a desire to control and to manipulate and to do whatever it wants to do to get what it wants. And yet we have an opportunity, we can be renewed in the spirit and be renewed of that old mind to the spiritual mind. So we're renewed by the spirit from thinking the old way and being caught in the vanity of our mind to thinking a new way and being spiritual in the way that we do things. That doesn't mean that I have to, you know, pray in tongues for X amount of time before I put my socks on in the morning. You know, it doesn't mean that as I'm putting them on, I'm giving a word of knowledge to my toes. You know, what it means is that whatever it is that I'm doing it with a consciousness that I'm a spirit and that my spirit man is in control and that there's nothing that's impossible for me today. There's nothing that stands between me and everything that God has for me today. There's no limitation that my flesh can put on me today. And if it hurts when I bend over to put my socks on, that I can rely on the inner man and say, no, flesh, you don't get your way today. I'm not going to quit. I'm going to put the socks on all the way. You know, or whatever it might be in your life. That's walking in the spirit. It's not a complicated thing. It's simply allowing that inner man a greater place in you than your outer man. It's allowing that new nature to have control and flood your decisions and the thoughts and the ways that you do things so that you're not always trying to figure something out and get frustrated because you can't get there. Do you know God knows He knows math. He knows science. He knows the day-to-day things of life. He knows how a vehicle works. He knows how to get you to and from work. Now, if you're not a mechanic, you're probably not going to be working on your car. But I'm not a mechanic, but I remember a time when there was two ladies that were stranded on the side of the road, and I was with a friend of mine. We stopped to help them. I don't know very much about cars at all, and you know, I can figure out a few things. You can kind of tell if it's the battery or it's not getting power, or maybe it's getting power, but it's not getting gas or that type of thing. And this car was just, it was just completely dead. You go to turn it on and nothing. So, okay, well, we'll stay with you. And at that time, there weren't cell phones, so we were looking for a place to find a pay phone to call somebody. And we asked them if they had someone they could call, and we really didn't see a pay phone. So I said, well, let's just stay here and we're going to pray. And so we prayed in the Spirit for a little while, and the Holy Spirit said to me, he says, look at what you know. I didn't know very much, but I had changed out a stereo in my car and things like that, and that was pretty much the extent. I mean, I was late teens, like 19, maybe 20 years old, probably not even 20 years old, maybe 18. I said, is it okay if I look in your car? And she said, that's fine. So I get in the car. I look at the radio. And I'm going, I don't know what else to look at. And when I looked there, there was a little, like, key-looking thing that was laying in the tray. It wasn't an ashtray, but there's a little tray underneath the dash, and there's a little key-looking thing laying there. And I picked it up. I thought, what is this? And there's a spot there that it looked like it would fit in. So I put it in that little spot, and the car started. See, I'm not a mechanic, but the Holy Spirit knows how a car runs. He knows the things that are necessary. Now, if they had a bigger problem, I don't think the Holy Spirit would tell me to take the transmission out of the vehicle. I don't believe that because I don't have the knowledge for that. I'm not saying he couldn't do it, but he probably wouldn't. He'd probably tell me to call somebody that can fix the transmission. But the thing is, it's that simple. We don't have to, instead of being frustrated and concerned and worried and wondering, what are we going to do? And oh my, how are we going to get out of this? We turn to the Spirit within us and the Holy Spirit. We partner with Him and He will lead us and guide us and take us out of the realms of the flesh and the limitations that our mind has on us, the vanity that old man wants to live in. And we can go into that freedom where we think like he thinks. Where no longer do we think, man, I've prayed for these people. They don't get any better. That may be a fact. But if I allow myself to go down that road, then my carnal thinking starts to say, well, why are you praying for them then? What's the sense? Well, what do you do? You can't do anything for them. But you see, that's being conformed to this world. And we're to be transformed by what? The renewing of our mind. See, our mind plays such a very important part in our walk with God. I remember, you know how we've heard the teachings of spirit, soul, and body. I'm a spirit. I have a soul. I live in a body. But Pastor Dave said it, and I'll never forget it. And it's just made a difference in the way I looked at it. He said, most of the time, you operate out of your soul, either influenced by the spirit or influenced by the flesh. And it made it a lot easier. Because, see, it's not wrong to think. I mean, God expects us to think. God expects us to use our brain. I couldn't be speaking this morning if my brain wasn't working. I couldn't do anything for God if I wasn't able to have a natural brain that functions and works in the earth. But see, He wants us to work out of that, influenced by the Spirit. And the more that we're influenced by the Spirit, the more authority and power that we have over the flesh. And just the opposite, the more we're influenced by the flesh, the more power and authority we have over our spirit. You know, I mean, I don't know if you know this or not, but the flesh has power. It really does. And you know, but it doesn't have more power than your spirit. And even the unregenerated man, his spirit has power in it. Unfortunately, it's not power that comes from God, and many times Those people who aren't born again, they may have great achievements, and some of them learn how to tap into their spirit and they do some amazing things, but oftentimes they get into some really weird stuff because it's not of God, and the enemy will use that. And there's some very powerful people who are under the influence of the devil and don't even realize it. But you see, we can be much more powerful if we learn to have influence from our spirit, because our spirit is from God, and there's nobody that can stand in the way. There's more that be for us than be with them. There's more with us than with them and for us. Hallelujah. There's a limited number of demons running around, but I don't know how many angels there are. And here's the thing, God, there's no limit to God's power. So, you know, I believe we're heading into a new level. The old saying is new level, new devil. But I say new level, run off the devil. Why not? Yeah. Well, no, he don't have more power than the next level of power that's coming in my life. How ridiculous is that? I'm not saying it's wrong to say there'd be a new devil, whatever. I don't care. But what I'm saying is that that's not what I want to focus on. I don't care what the devil's going to do. He can't do anything to stop me. Now, I'm not going to be stupid. Don't want to step into things that God's not calling you into, and because there is a devil out there. There is power out there. But the thing is, part of the reason when I said I'm no longer frustrated, I'm no longer disappointed, it's not because, believe me, I hurt to see that box week after week. But I know that we're not wrong for being where we are. We just are. We just are. See, you are a child of God. God's not disappointed with where we're walking. As long as we're still walking. As long as we're pressing toward that next level. And He's taking us by the hand. He's cheering us on. He's loving on us. And He's saying, you're doing great. Keep going. Because this is possible. And it's on the path that we're walking. That's why we don't have to be disappointed. Because they're going to get out of the chair. They're going to be healed of their minds. They're going to be made whole. Because that's what Jesus does. And as we learn to walk with Him, He's going to do that. Obviously, He wants to do it right now. I get that. But He's not disappointed. Why should we be? You think He's surprised? And wringing His hands and saying, what am I going to do? How people can't even get somebody healed? He's not concerned about that. Because He knows you can. He knows the spirit that He put in you. He knows the power that's available to each and every one of us. He understands that we can walk after the Spirit. And those limitations that we have on us right now, they are no match for what we have within us. They're no match for the power of God. So my attitude, what I want my attitude to be, is all things are possible. These pictures here, that I can see them as beautiful, wonderful, whole, complete people, because I know that that's what God is doing. And when I do that, it builds up my faith. It builds me up to realize, yeah, I can. Not only can I do heal the sick. I do raise the dead. I do see the maimed whole. I do see the deaf hear. I do make the blind see. And I know that we've been talking about the dangers of praying for other people immaturely or in the wrong manner. But I want to talk about that for just a second. And if I'm out of line, Gary will straighten me out. But this is my experience. I understand what Alan has taught and Gary has said, and I agree 100%. So please don't... you can write Gary letters if you don't like it, but please don't misunderstand that I'm saying this in compliment to what they've been talking about. For years, I've ministered to the sick, the homeless, the downtrodden, to people in general. And there's a way that you can minister to your friends and to the people you know, that you can do it in a way that is not going to hurt them, whether they see a manifestation in their life or not. And in my experience, the best way when I see someone, first of all, the best thing is don't go looking for somebody in a wheelchair or on crutches. You just simply are out there to meet people. If you're going to go out and you want to go out and witness and you want to help people, or you just want to be a light, if you're at Walmart and you run into somebody, the best thing is to just say hello. You know, my name's Hans. How are you doing today? And if you do spark up a conversation, you could say something like this. I would like to pray for you. Is there anything that you need? And you say that the same way to the person that looks 100% normal and the person that's in the wheelchair. Because you don't want to assume that their biggest need is to get up out of the wheelchair. Maybe they need a job. Maybe they have a broken relationship. Maybe there's something else going on in their life that is a bigger concern to them than whether they get out of the chair. Most of the time, they've never even thought about getting out of the chair because they didn't think it was possible. And then when you pray for them, you can say something like this. You say, you know, sometimes I pray for people and God heals them. But whether he does or he doesn't, I know it's his will and he didn't put you that way. He wants you out of there. And then you can pray however it is you pray. Sometimes you'll do that. And as you do it, the Holy Spirit will show up. There'll be power and a manifestation of God. Sometimes he might give you a word of knowledge. Sometimes he may just give you a little inkling on the inside and you go, I heard kidney. Now, you might not say to that person, I heard kidney. I wouldn't recommend that. I would say something like, do you have a problem with your kidney? And if they say yes, you could say, well, you know, I believe God wants to heal that. And we can do it in a gentle, meek manner. And whether there's a manifestation there or not, I try to end my conversation with that person with, can I stay in touch with you? Would you mind if I follow up with you? And I want you to know that I'm believing God for your complete healing. And whether they get that manifestation or not, I've never met anyone that was disappointed that I prayed for them. Most of the time, people want, they're crying out for somebody to care enough to pay attention to what's going on in their life. And when you're offering to pray for them, they may not understand it. They may not even realize you mean right now, but they like the fact that you took a moment to notice them. To see who they are. And I'm not telling you to do that. What I'm saying is that there's an opportunity to be open to that. And as we're open to it, to be gentle, to be meek, to be kind. That's the first most important thing when we're dealing with people, is that the most important thing is that they know that God loves them. And he didn't put them in that position. He didn't put them in that wheelchair or in the bad place that they're in or without a job or whatever their need might be. And I believe that if we will do that and try at least to stay in touch with those people, disciple those people, invite them to church, be a part of their life, we're going to see revival. Because we're believing for 1,000 people born again a week. What if we each believe for one? What if we each believe that we could reach one person this week? And we began to build our faith and we walk by the Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, lead me to someone this week. Lead me to somebody. I'm not going to go out looking for them. Not going to the prisons to find the hardest, most calloused person and show them that I can lead people to Jesus. No. I'm going to say, Holy Spirit, bring somebody across my path this week that I can minister to. And each morning when you leave for the day, you can say, Lord, I want to be a blessing today. What can I do today to be a blessing? Many times you may not hear anything. And it's not about what you hear. It's the attitude. It's setting your thoughts and your mind, your thought process on him and what he wants to accomplish that day. And I believe if we'll do that, he will lead us to those who are hungry. To those who are in need, to those who are ready to receive. In my experience, I've been able to develop relationships with sinners. I have friends that are sinners. You know, I have friends that are atheists. And yet they are my friend. they haven't been here. One of them has been here. He is a Christian man, but they have said to me, I've had a friend who's an atheist who's given me money to go to Africa and said, hey, go do what you do, man. He knows I'm a preacher, but I'm not out there telling him you're going to hell and you need to change your ways. I'm just trying to be a light in his life. And when he has difficulties and problems, he calls me. I had another friend who's an atheist. This is kind of crazy. I can't believe that I have a group of about five or six friends that I talk to on a regular basis, and three of them are atheists. So anyway, he called me and he said, Hans, did I ask you to pray for my friend's aunt or whatever? And I said, I didn't. I was shocked. I was like, no, you did not ask me to pray for anyone. You've never asked me to pray for anyone. And he says, well, I'm not saying I believe in all this stuff. But he said, things just seem to get better when people are praying. And he said, I know that you pray and you, he said, I believe, you know, that there's good energy but this is a man, when I met him, who would curse a church every time he drove past it, a man who could not stand to ever talk about the things of the Bible, totally bitter towards God. He lived a Christian life before, but he's completely 100% atheist, and we've been praying for him. And God is softening his heart. And he says, his friend, stage 4 cancer. He said, she needs prayer. Would you please pray for her? And so, God has a way of using us. We have an opportunity to be a light in the world without being aggressive, without being vain in the way that we do it. We can be ourselves. Like I said, you're free to be you. See, that's the most awesome thing. I'm free to be me. I used to think that I was a very genuine person until this last fast that God showed me so many times that I put the spirit part of me on a back burner in order to impress the people I'm around. Now, I don't like that, but it's the truth anyway. And I've repented. And so I'm going to be me today. There was a time when a group, they usually don't come in groups, but there was a group of Mormons that came to my house. I remember why they came in a group. So I had a friend where a couple Mormons came to his house, and they invited him to church. And he went. He went a couple times, but he didn't want to go anymore, and they wouldn't leave him alone. So I said, bring him over to my house. And now, to be honest with you, I was probably being vain. I was probably trying to show off, and I thought I was more spiritual and able to do something that he wasn't able to do or whatever. Just for full disclosure there. So I invited him over to my apartment, and these guys, I think there was 4 of them, they came in. There's a young guy, a little bit older guy, another young guy, and a little bit older guy. I don't know exactly how that works, but usually the older ones are training the younger ones, and so they come in and talk to us. Well, I had gotten a hold of a chick track about Mormonism, and there were several detailed things about Mormonism that they never talk about, because the only thing they want to do is get you baptized. That's the main thing. You need to get baptized. That's the first level, you know, and so that's all they want to talk about. So that's why I want to talk about some other things. So I bring up this other stuff, and of course, it gets a little awkward, and they're dancing around it and trying not to talk about it, and so on and so forth. Well, I was getting frustrated, and so I said, well, here's the thing. I know the power of God, and I know that He can heal, and I've seen arms grow out, I've seen legs grow out, and this young kid sits down on the couch, puts his feet up on the coffee table. He said, if God can do that, I'll believe you. And he had 1 foot about 3 inches shorter than the other. I was young. And honestly, I was intimidated. I wouldn't do it. Now, I believe with all of my heart that God led me to talk about those things and that He wanted to heal that young man. that's on me. So when I tell you that I've missed some of the things God's had me do, I'm not joking. I've been insecure, didn't realize the value that I have. Many times you don't realize how valuable you are to God. And He can't do anything in the earth without you. We are His hands and feet. We are the ones He wants to use to touch this world. When we don't operate in the gifts that God makes available to us. And see, I was very young, and I don't see those gifts manifest very often in my life at all. And that too used to disappoint me. But I'm not disappointed anymore. Because the Lord showed me things. He says, those things aren't past. It was just a taste. See, the Bible says, taste and see that I'm good, that the Lord is good. Gary talks about the miracles and things that happened in his life. We may not see that on a week-to-week basis here, but that's just the taste of what God has in store. And I know Gary talked about the anointing being on him so heavy that he couldn't walk, and men had to hold him up and lift up his hand and touch people. And I realize God doesn't want us to operate that way. But if you got to drag me around and touch people and they get healed, I don't care. I'll allow it. All right. On my way to being able to stand up under it, if I can't stand under it, but it comes anyway, bring it on. Come on, Jesus. We want to see the power of God. And we are going to see the power of God. I'm telling you something. I'm going to Africa in 4 weeks and we're going to see the power of God. But it's not just in Africa. I thank God for the times that I've been able to follow the Holy Spirit, but I'm excited about the truth that I'm free to follow Him all the time. See, there's been times that I've been intimidated. Sometimes it's not necessarily, I don't want to say it's not my own fault, but it's faulty thinking of thinking that it's not the appropriate time. I'm not the one in charge here. I mean, that's the truth. And there's some truth to that. The Bible says the anointing of the prophet is subject to the prophet, right? So, I mean, you don't have to always be the one to say something or to do something. But if He's prompting you, then that's what we ought to do. We ought to follow that the best that we can. Like, we have some protocols here. Like, my daughter received a word from the Lord. She wrote it down and gave it to Alan. Alan read it. Praise God. That's flowing with the gifts of the Spirit. So what I'm saying is there's a freedom available. God wants to set some people free. He wants us free. Oh, my, my, my. I know we got to close this, but I'm waiting for just a moment. I know He wants to do something, and I want to do it the way He wants it done. Hallelujah. Okay. Yes, sir. I want everyone to, if you would, please close your eyes and bow your heads. If you're in here this morning, if anything that I said today registered with you, you could say, I've been intimidated. I have some insecurities. I know that I could be used of God in a greater measure than I have been. And I know that could apply to all of us, but I mean, the Holy Spirit's been dealing with you this morning. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I just want you to raise your hand wherever you are. If that's you and you say, I want to be free. Thank you. Thank you for your hand. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you. Yes, thank you, Jesus. Okay, hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. All right, now I want everybody to just lift your hands up to the Lord. Oh, mama, sakariasta chichela, riasa talaboru kwanda la bossa chela. Father, we just thank you today for your freedom. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I'm asking you. And I thank you, Father, for the grace and the anointing that is able to destroy every yoke of bondage. And I command every bondage to be broken in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Wash over your people, Holy Ghost. Wash over your people. Bring the anointing of courage, strength, freedom, power, love, a sound mind. Bring your manifestation to your people right now, Jesus. Release that to them in Jesus' name. Oh, be free. Be free. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, Rabasatala. All right, let's just worship him for that. Right now, Father, we just thank you. We worship you and praise you and glorify you. Lord, we thank you that we're free. We thank you, Lord, for your Spirit that's manifested himself in this building today, Lord God, in this service today, Father. Lord, we thank you for freedom. Thank you, Lord, that you've given us a sound mind. You've given us freedom, love, power. Thank you, Lord. Father, I pray that each person in here today, that each one of us in this room will walk free and be filled with your power, with the soundness of mind, with freedom, and that we would walk in that after the Spirit, and we would be able to see your light manifest through. Now, Father, as we close up this morning, I pray for the next service to come, that your anointing will be upon Gary, and that your glory will be present as it is in every service at the prayer center, Lord. Your anointing will be upon the musicians and the worship, and Father, that you will have your way in this place today, Lord. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. With that, you are dismissed, and we'll see you at 10 o'clock.